So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. We're going to be in verses, start reading in verse 25, but let's first open up in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your abounding grace. Lord, we ask that Christ would have proper place in our lives. We're just saying beautiful words, that though this road be scarred with trial and pain, it's paved with lavish grace. Knowing him will be my greatest gain, his throne my resting place. Lord, would we be able to say with Paul, we count the things of this earth as rubbish in comparison to knowing Christ. We ask this afternoon as we open your word and focus in on Christ and rejoice and celebrate the Lamb of God, that we would come away changed, that we come away impacted by these truths, by the work of your Spirit in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2, let's read a few verses. What I want to do this morning is very often in our thoughts of Christ, and in a sense, rightfully so, if somebody says the name of Jesus, let's say if somebody said Pastor Kevin to you during the week, you would have somewhat of an image of what at least you can remember of me, and your brain would pop in, right? Awful thought, right, Robert? So very often, too, when, let's say, somebody were to say the name of Jesus, you have an image or an idea pop into your head, and very often it would be a 30-something-year-old man. In our culture, they give him long hair, right, and a beard, and have him tall and skinny. That's very unlikely what he looked like. He was probably a short, probably 5'4". Dark curly hair with a dark curly beard. That's what Jesus most likely would have looked like. But of course we don't know. But what we often don't picture is number one, Jesus as a baby. That he was born of a woman. Born of a virgin. Born in a stable. Most likely, culturally back then, actually a cave where they kept animals. It was dirty, filthy, not just with dirt, not to be grotesque, but with animal dung and smell and filth. And as he was born, coming from the womb of his mother, the first place where he was laid was not on a clean, sterile hospital bed, in the arms of a doctor. He was laid in a manger where animals fed. And this young baby, as we sang, and who would have dreamed that we could hold God in our hands? And as a baby, they took him. And took him here in Luke chapter 2. He is presented at the temple. Verse 25 says, "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, and he took him into his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.' His father and mother, they were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." This is the beginning, and of course many other things were said of Jesus, from the announcement to Mary that she would have a child, to announcement of angels to the shepherds, "Go and behold." But here we get an incredible glimpse of some statements made of this baby born in a manger. Number one, we have Simeon declare that he is the Lord's Christ. That word Christ is Messiah, Mashiach. He is the chosen one, the very one whom God promised would come as he doled out the punishment for man's sin. In Genesis 3, he doled out the remedy for man's sin, which was Eve's seed, the chosen one. We see he recognizes in verse 30, it says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." This baby lying in a manger is the salvation for all of mankind. Verse 32, a light of revelation to the who? The Gentiles. Can I get a hearty amen from everybody in this room? This baby came to earth for us. And the glory of your people Israel. No, he's not only for Gentiles. He's for Israel. He's sent for Israel to fulfill the promises made to Israel. But he's also for all of the world. Anyone who would believe. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. Many would hear of the name of Jesus. If Emmy was still in here, she'd answer this question. What does Jesus mean? In the Hebrew, what is Jesus? It's a common name. Joshua, Yeshua. God saves. Another name of Jesus that is thrown around much at Christmas time, Emmanuel. God with us. This little baby in a manger is God with us. And why is God with us? Because man needs God to save them. He is the Christ, the promised one. He is the God who saves. He is God with us. And yet, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. There be those who would be offended at God giving them salvation rather than themselves giving themselves salvation. They reject. They find him to be a stumbling block. And this baby would not remain a baby, but rather become a man, be crucified, buried, risen again, and as we rejoice, will be coming again. And all those who reject this baby in a manger will stand before his judgment seat and will face eternal wrath. And yet, it does not say all will fall, but also that there would be a rise, many. We'll talk about that in a second. This was the beginning. These were the early statements of whom Jesus was. And he continues growing. He increases in wisdom and stature and relationship to man. I want to look at another beginning part of Jesus' life. We have the beginning, his birth as a baby, but there's another beginning. As he reaches roughly 30 years old, Jesus begins his earthly ministry. And God gives an incredible glimpse and statement of Jesus once again as he, not beginning in the first place as a baby, but now beginning his earthly ministry, God gives a beautiful glimpse and statement of who Jesus is. John chapter 1. Turn over to the next book, John chapter 1, if you would with me. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Later on, we hear that the Word becomes flesh. That this Word as flesh dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And yet He would be rejected. He'd be denied by the majority of people. But at the beginning of His ministry, He goes and His cousin John the Baptist declares on verse 29, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" I want to focus just 3 or 4 minutes on this statement of John the Baptist. He says, "Behold thee." The singular one. There are thousands of animals sacrificed throughout history. There have been billions of people who have tried to be their own salvation. But according to God, there is one Lamb. The Lamb. Behold the, what is He? The Lamb. He is a sacrifice, living, a life to be slain, to be laid upon the altar, from heaven to the manger, from the manger to face trials and tests and temptations, from temptation to His ministry, from His ministry to betrayal. This betrayal resulting in a mock trial. This precious Lamb of God became a man. He faced a mock trial. He was hit. He was mocked. He was spat upon. He was beaten. He was flogged. He had his flesh torn from his back. He had nails driven through His hands. He had nails driven through His feet. As He hung upon that cross, slowly suffocating to death, He made incredible statements such as, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He looked to the criminal hanging justly beside Him and said, "I tell you, today you'll be with Me in paradise." All these things, they pale in comparison to Him crying out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, mankind, we have gone through physical pain before. There have been men who have been crucified. Many, many men and women who have been crucified. There have been individuals burnt to death. There are countless who have gone through incredible suffering and pain physically. But nobody at any time has ever gone through the pain that Christ went through as His Father had to turn His back on Him and He felt your sin upon His shoulders. Behold the Lamb. The Lamb who would come and die for a purpose too. Behold the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. At His death, the earth shook, the graves opened, and the veil was rent in two down the middle, giving access through the Lamb into the very presence of God Almighty. And as we considered the book of Leviticus during Sunday school, no man could enter but the priest once a year through the shedding of blood. But now as the Lamb of God was sacrificed on the true altar before God Almighty, entering into the very presence of God, the veil is rent in two and the offer of salvation is Come. Come. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is God's appointed Lamb, the Lamb of God. Why did He come? Did He come so that you could have your best life now? Did He come so that you could have the best parking spot at the mall? Did He come so that you could have the nicest house on the block? Did He come so that you don't have to have trials here on earth? He came to take away the sins of the world. Jesus did not shed His blood so that you could have an easy life. He shed His blood because you're a dirty, rotten, wicked sinner like me. And we need the forgiveness that's found in Him. He came to take away the sins of the world, to take away our sins. I'll close with this. What does John say to do with the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world? What's the word? Behold. Behold. Call out to Him, believe in Him, and He will take away your sins. Behold the Lamb of God. If you've not trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never beheld the Lamb, this is the moment. Look to Him. Turn from your sin. Accept the fact that He is God's appointed Lamb. Not you, not your good works, not going to church. But He, the Lamb of God, came to take away your sins because you can't get rid of them yourself. So behold, Christ told His disciples in relationship to His death that He would die. He said, as the serpent in the wilderness was lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up so that He may draw men to Himself. Israel had rebelled against God. God sent judgment, fiery serpents going about in the camp, and they were biting them and people were dying. And God doesn't give some incredible anti-venom. He doesn't say, go walk to Mecca. He doesn't say, put burning coals on the ground and walk on them. He doesn't say, go to Moses and confess your sins. He says, Moses, take a staff. Take a pole. Fashion a bronze serpent upon it and walk through the camp. And anyone who looks upon that serpent will be healed. It was not do. It was look and believe. So as we celebrate this year, this rejoicing of Jesus' birth, it's not about the gifts. It's about the gift. It's not about yourself. It's about Him. Might I dare even say it's not about your family. It's about Jesus. Use this time to point people to the greatest gift, the Lamb of God, who can take away their sins, if you will simply behold. Look upon the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Lord, would You work in our hearts? Would we point people to Christ? The beauty, the grace, and the mercy, and the forgiveness, and the love, and the peace, and the joy, the gentleness that is found only in Him. Would we be looking to Him faithfully and continually, day by day, moment by moment, second by second? And would we use all of our strength and our time to point others to the glories of Christ, the Lamb of God, comes to take away the sins of the world. Pray these things through His very name.